Welcome to Box Office Battle, where we take forgotten classics, underappreciated movies, and other stuff.
You were so close.
I'm Biggs.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Zach.
I was just thinking about how you took so much delight when I couldn't remember, and then I couldn't remember.
And guess
froze.
What? You remembered a couple episodes in a row,
but the delight's back.
It was at least five, right? Five episodes in a row?
Shit. It's okay. Even Joe DiMaggio's streak had to end.
Anyway, I'm going to lighten up now because in my corner, we're doing Highlander.
And in my corner, we're doing Mortal Kombat.
That's right. We're doing a Christopher Lambert off.
Lambert.
Lambert.
Mr. Lambert, if you're nasty.
Lambert.
You know?
If it's Colbert, it's Lambert.
It's Lambert. Much like it's Colbert.
No. It's the rapport with Colbert.
Okay, you know what?
Lambert.
We're going to have to agree to disagree, but I will chastise you every time you say Lambert.
Well, same with Lambert.
All right, this is going to be a chastise-filled right. Episode.
As the judge, I will have final say.
Oh, man.
So what's the
your name, say? Your name will forever be linked with either Mount Valhalla or the name.
Oh, interesting. So if, hypothetically speaking, if I win, he will officially become Christopher Lambert. And if he wins, he will officially become Christopher Lambert.
That's correct.
I'm in on this. Yeah, you know what? This raises the stakes a little bit. We made it interesting.
Does it go with the winner of the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, now we've got some stakes on this.
Yeah. Okay, so Highlander is the tale of Christopher Lambert, who is in ancient Scotland, and he gets into a giant battle. And in this battle, he gets stabbed in the gut by a man known as the Kurgan, who's played by Clancy Brown. That sounds right. Played by Lex Luthor. So he goes, he heals. They think he's a fucking witch, so they cast him out. And in the time that he's casted out, he meets a man named Ramirez, played by Sean Connery, who teaches him that he's a Highlander and tells him the way of immortals. Well, no, he doesn't tell him that he's a Highlander. I guess he's Scottish, so he's a Highlander.
No matter whether he's immortal or not.
I guess that's a confusing part of the title.
Yeah.
He tells him he's an immortal. And so basically, they fight each other until there's only one left. There's a quickening when they kill the other person, and they basically gain some of their power. They're not allowed to attack each other on holy ground. They don't ever tell you why until Highlander 2, which may be a future box office battle. We'll see how this one goes. Because if I can't win with part one,
there's no way you're winning with part two.
There's absolutely no way I'm winning with part two. But anyway, let's get the part two stink off of this for a second. So basically he says that they fight until there's one left, and then whoever's left gets the prize, and none of them know what the prize is, but they all want it. And he tells them that the Kurgan can't be allowed to get the prize because that would be the doom of mankind, or so Ramirez believes. So basically he teaches Christopher Lambert how to use a sword, and we cut to future New York, which actually was intercut throughout the entire time, but he's at a wrestling match and he sees an immortal in there, and he decapitates the guy and gets a quickening, and then the police get on his tail. So basically, like, he falls in love with the girl, the Kurgan comes to town, another immortal comes to town, they gets drunk with the immortal, and then the Kurgan kills the other immortal, and then it's left with just the two of them. The Kurgan takes her hostage, and then he kills the Kurgan. The end. Great.
Now, my film, Christopher Lambert is an immortal in my film as well.
He plays
Raiden, the god of thunder and lightning.
As previously seen on previous box office with Big Trouble, Little China.
That's right. So, Raiden is assembling some of the greatest fighters of Earthrealm. Oh yeah, you should know, in this movie, Earth is known as Earthrealm. And here's why. See, Mortal Kombat is a legendary fighting tournament that takes place once every generation.
Except for in part two.
Yes. except for in part two. But hey, if we're ignoring your part two, we can ignore my part two.
I just throwing that up. We have unsavory part two.
Yes.
Christopher Lambert didn't know how to make a sequel.
Christopher Lambert is not in Mortal Kombat 2. He's replaced.
See?
Yeah, by James Remar.
Had no idea. So he didn't even try.
No.
He sniffed it out.
He learned from Highlander part 2.
That's right.
So every generation, Outworld, which is sort of another dimension, battles Earthrealm in this tournament, Mortal Kombat. And if Outworld wins 10 times in a row, the evil Shao Kahn can come and invade Earth and take it over. Now, previously, in the events before the beginning of Mortal Kombat, Outworld has won the last 9 Mortal Kombats. So this is the one everything hinges on. If Raiden can't find true champions for Earthrealm, Earthrealm will be destroyed. So he assembles Liu Kang, Sonya Blade, and Johnny Cage, and brings them to Outworld to fight for Earthrealm. And then, I mean, they fight a lot. And then Earthrealm. Yeah, there's a lot of that. And guess what? It's fucking awesome. It is really, really exciting stuff. And there's a lot of fights. And for a while, you think, oh, man, Earthrealm is going to dominate. And then for a while, you're like, man, Earthrealm's going to lose. Earthrealm's fucked. And then Earthrealm wins, and it's really happy. The end.
Then I had to put in more quarters, man.
Because Outworld got me that time.
See, here's the thing. I could sit here and take the low road by pointing out that Sean Connery is in my movie, because we've already established
Sean Connery. Oh, you mean like saying that Sean Connery is in your movie? Would you do it like that?
He's the bee's knees. We all understand this. But I don't need to get into that, because I'm going to focus on the soundtracks. Now, you heard me talking about Mortal Kombat. It just makes you laugh when you hear it. That's right. It's kind of a joke at this point. But Highlander is scored by Queen. It's epic, man. Here we are, born to be kings. You know what I'm talking about. There's Who Wants to Live Forever. The entire soundtrack is amazing. Queen scored it from beginning to end. And they got the job based off of another classic, Flash Gordon, because the director saw what they did with Flash Gordon and was like, I want some of that in my movie.
Which, by the way, that's the only time that's ever been said about Flash Gordon.
Yeah. And it should have been said more.
Yes.
But, you know, they got that. And they got a whole lot more.
Okay, so here's the thing. I actually wanted to lead with music as well. I find this interesting because you paint the Mortal Kombat as a bad thing. I watched that movie, and I'm not going to lie to you, in a movie of great things, that might be my favorite thing about it. That is just underscoring every fight in the film, and I never once got sick of it. And guess what? Even if it is a joke, I mean, you need a little humor when you're taking on something as serious as a fighting tournament that could end Earth as we know it. You need some levity, and you can't take levity in the characters. They got to take the shit serious. So you find the levity in the music, and it's a great way to tie the video game franchise with the film franchise. And honestly, I mean, it's just a good fucking song. Like, if we could have that song underscoring our verbal battles, I'd be a happy man.
See, you had to use one song over and over again, though. In my movie, they use many great songs. And by the way, this is also a battle for the Earth, essentially. Like, maybe it's not Earth's going to get destroyed, but mankind sure as fuck is if the Kurgan wins. And I don't want that. Brandon doesn't want that. But I'm getting a question if maybe Zach wanted that.
Okay. So before I make my point, I have to respond to two of your points, which is, first of all, you said they had to use that one song. They didn't have to. When you have a song that good, why the fuck wouldn't you play it 16 times in a movie? Now, you say I want to see Earth destroyed? When I choose a film that's all about how the plucky underdogs from Earth can save it, that's what you're going to throw against me? We don't just say fucking Scotland. They save everybody. But here's the real point. The thing that really sells this movie is that it really does live and die on the performance of Christopher Lambert. See, you keep bringing up Sean Connery. I mean, for good reason. He's a legend. We love him. There's a good reason you keep bringing him up. But Christopher Lambert in Mortal Kombat has this sort of wide-eyed, wild, manic sense of playfulness throughout the whole film. And it's playful in the way you'd imagine, like, the Olympian gods would be playful, in that they sort of see humans and non-immortal creatures as their pawns and their playthings. And when you see someone like that, who has this weird sense of humor and this weird propensity to toy with people, take something so deadly serious as he does this fighting tournament, that is how you sell stakes. You have a character who isn't scared of anything, who isn't worried about anything because he can survive it all. And he's worried about this? That's some big fucking fear.
See, I would also say that that's represented in my movie as well, though. You've got Christopher Lambert. Okay, he goes and he gets in a duel with another person and he knows he's not going to die. He's just fucking with the dude because he's drunk on brandy. And so they go to duel with pistols, or no, with swords, with a rapier. And he stabs him over and over and over again. Christopher Lambert keeps falling and then standing back up and then falling and standing back up. And finally says, "I'm sorry. I did not mean to call your wife a stinky warthog breath," or something like that. I don't know. I can't even do Christopher Lambert's accent.
You just did Teddy KGB.
That's how good he is in this movie, because he's from all sorts of places, as he says in the movie. And you really believe it, because I don't know where the fuck Christopher Lambert is from. So he was born for this movie. But he also takes these stakes seriously, because we are talking about the future of mankind.
So I want to take a minute to delve into the characters of Mortal Kombat. And much like a superhero film, like in an X-Men film, you have your main cast, and then you have the characters who pop up for a scene or two to be recognizable to fans, right? That's what you get with Mortal Kombat. So you have your Earthrealmers coming. You've got your main Outworlders, like a Shang Tsung and Goro and Princess Katana. Then you've got Scorpion running around. You've got Sub-Zero running around. You've got, in a great little bit, Reptile running around being all camouflage and fucking with people. And the best part is, true to the spirit of the game, even the people who are fighting for Outworld, like Scorpion and Sub-Zero, will battle against each other in this movie, because you don't get a guy with weird scorpion powers and weird ice powers and not make them fight. Are you kidding me? These guys knew what they had and they executed. They did not miss opportunities. They didn't waste character moments, and they gave us what we wanted.
See, what I really want is to see grown men fighting each other with swords. And boy, did I get that in this movie. In fact, there's a great scene where Sean Connery is fighting Clancy Brown and the castle's falling all around him, leading nothing but a staircase. And Sean Connery cuts Clancy Brown's throat. Doesn't quite get his head off, though. Then Clancy Brown goes, "Ramirez." And he says, "My cut improved your voice, I see." Fucking brilliant, dude. I love that. I love that we have a fight at the beginning of in New York where you don't know what the fuck's going on in this wrestling arena. He cuts off a dude's head and then cartoon lightning comes out of him. Or when he kills the Kurgan at the end and cartoon monsters are flying around. That was my daughter's favorite part, by the way. And that's really the charm of this movie. Mortal Kombat's pretty brutal, so I mean, I would really stick to the 13 and up on that movie, guys. But Highlander, all ages can watch it, as long as you're okay with a little bit of titties, which I'm always okay with titties.
I want to talk a little bit about degree of difficulty. Because see, put yourself in the shoes of a Hollywood executive, and they come to you and they say, "I want to make a movie about manly Scottish warriors." And you're like, "Yeah, that sounds fucking great." And of course you have that reaction, because it's a super easy concept to pull off. Like, if you can't make badass immortal Scottish warriors work, I question your skills as a filmmaker. Now, when someone...
Highlander too.
When come... I do question his skills as a filmmaker.
Well, it's not the same director.
Yeah. Now, when someone comes to you and says, "I want to make a movie based on a video game full of fighting weirdos," and you pull that off, that's a degree of fucking difficulty. If you can make a weird lady with a gaping, toothy maw of a face look cool and be badass and terrifying, if you can make an awkward older white dude named Christopher Lambert wear a coolie hat and rain down lightning and thunder and make it be genuinely impressive and intimidating, that's nailing the degree of difficulty.
I think I'm done. I got nothing. Do you got anything else?
them. I mean, I guess since you're selling titties, I can say we got attractive ladies and objectively not great for fighting outfits, but they look pretty good in them.
All right. I've heard both of your arguments. Been really good. I have one final question. If you had to sell a video game of your movie to me, how would you do it? We'll start with Zach, the obvious one.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever been so goddamned angry that you wanted to just physically punish someone in a fight? And now I told you not only can you just demolish people, you can demolish monsters, you can demolish creeps, you can demolish robots. And every single one of them will make you feel like a badass. But not only can you demolish them, you can pull out fatality moves so epic that they had to create a rating system around them. You can tear a man's spine out. You can electrocute their skin off. You can eat their brain. You can break all the bones in their body and throw them around like fucking bone confetti. Who doesn't want that?
You know, I wouldn't sell this as a video game because I don't think you can distill the action and the wonderment that is the Highlander. Sorry. Yeah, I can't do it, Judge. It's too great. It's at too great a cost.
Ooh, there's some definite points there.
I mean, I couldn't pull that move because my movie already is a video game. So, like, that door was closed for me.
My movie wasn't a video game. That's all the choice I have.
I feel like it was at some point, though.
I guarantee you there is a Highlander video game that exists.
I mean, I believe that somebody on the internet created one.
No, I mean, there was probably with the whole Highlander.
Nintendo.
All I'm saying is if I went in a pawn shop and found Highlander for the NES, I would not be shocked at all.
Oh, I'd buy it.
Yeah, me too.
I just don't know how you would do it right, you know. It'd be like the Back to the Future 8-bit game. Old people know what I'm talking about. It's fucking, you're grabbing clocks. It's nonsense, dude.
All right. So what I'm going to have to finally judge this on is rewatchability. And I'm going to have to give this one to the Highlander.
Yay.
And so, unfortunately, it's going to have to be Christopher Lambert.
Yay.
Honest to God, considering he was born in France, that's probably the way this should have gone.
I thought he was like French-Canadian. See, nobody knows. Maybe he was born in Egypt.
Yeah, for all
idea.
Ramirez was from Egypt.
He might be full-blooded Kenyan.
Can I, in all honesty, shed some light on this?
Hit me.
I saw Christopher Lambert in an interview for Stars when I was in high school, and having this kid named Bill Matross that we used to argue about this all the time. I always say Lambert, and he said Lambert. And then eventually I just liked the sound of Lambert better, so I adopted it. But I saw him at the height of this give an interview in Stars, and they said, so is it Lambert or is it Lambert? Like a gotcha question. He's like, is both.
Goddamn
He's
right
like,
it
doesn't
is.
Matter.
I respect both. That answer. I respect okay the shit that. Out of that answer.
Yeah.
Good for you, Christopher Lambert.
Assuring that nerds argued about it to the end of time.
Because here's the thing. Here's why that's the only right answer to that question. No matter what he says, it was not going to end the argument. No, like, people will be fighting about that until we are all dead. Like, we as a species are dead. That will be argued about.
I'm going to start with Mortal Kombat. I want to give it a solid needs improvement on this one. I mean, the fight scenes were fun. But there was zero plot to this movie other than a fight tournament.
As listeners could probably guess by the fact that I did not say anything about plot.
You actually were so convincing about Mankind, like, or hinging on it, that I didn't challenge you on the plot.
Well, that part's true.
I haven't seen it since I was in high school. Just, maybe there was something.
All the shit I was talking about happens in about the first 7 minutes of the movie.
Like, we're just going to throw this idea out there and run with it.
They're like, listen, we need exactly as much plot as it takes to get them to the tournament, and then it's just fighting.
Basically, you're talking about the opening sequence of the video game.
It is. The movie really does play like fights interspersed with cutscenes.
So, there's definitely a needs improvement. I would have to say on Highlander, excellent minus. And it's only because some of the stuff gets kind of dated now. I mean, some of the cop stuff is really dated.
Really unneeded.
Yes.
Yeah. They could have cut that entire plot.
But it was really fun. Like, it is one movie I could watch anytime and be really fun.
Yeah, see, I agree with you exactly for your reasoning on Highlander 2, or on Highlander as well. I won't say it to you.
Because we've already established that Highlander 2 is a dirty phrase.
But the thing with the Highlander is, so if you take out that cop plot, if you take everything out of it, so if you watch the director's cut of that movie, the stuff that they cut out is interesting and it's good, okay? But if you cut out all of the police stuff, you could keep all those cutscenes that are good and still have, I would imagine, a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
And that would make it excellent for sure. Also, shit is pretty dated, but it's dated in the great way where it's funny and like you can laugh at it. But still, you got to kind of knock a point off it for that. So I'm the same. Like if I had talked about this in high school, I would have gotten excellent. Veering towards an excellent plus. Older Biggs, probably an excellent minus. Mortal Kombat, I gotta say unsatisfactory, dude. And here's why. And it's not any fault to, like, you actually compelled me a little bit the way you said it. And I kind of want to rewatch it, like, just because you have love of it, because I'm not sure why. But I didn't enjoy that video game when I was a kid. And then, like, because I was more into Street Fighter 2, and I felt like they just blatantly ripped off Street Fighter 2, but made it more violent. And then the movie came out, and I wanted to like the movie because it had Christopher Lambert, but I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, and everybody was like, you got to watch a video game to understand. I'm like, I shouldn't have to watch a video game to like a movie. So I hated it on that ground. But, you know, I'm kind of willing to like kick back a few beers and maybe watch that movie now. But as it stands right now, I got to go unsatisfactory.
And I think that's fair. It really is the type of movie that can only be enjoyed in a specific context. Like, you need someone there. I'm just going to go out right now. My rating for it is probably a needs improvement plus, but that's only because of sort of like the schlocky entertainment value of it. Like, this is a piece of hot garbage. And what would have given away that the movie itself is a piece of hot garbage, even though it's an entertaining piece of hot garbage, is if I had told you the name of the director. Now, are you familiar with the director known as Paul Anderson?
Yeah.
Paul Thomas Anderson?
Yep.
There's a different Paul Anderson.
Yeah.
Paul W.S. Anderson, the director of Mortal Kombat. He's known for such films as Resident Evil and Three Musketeers.
Like, Night's Boogie. That's why he's like, trying to cash in on the name.
He's basically like the rich man's Uwe Boll. He's not a talented filmmaker is what I'm trying to say. But despite his influence, I can't pinpoint exactly what it is. I think it's sort of the overtop nature of the characters and what passes for a plot. I think it's the sort of ridiculousness of the world. I think it's fond memories of the video game all sort of wrapped together. But in the right context where you're drinking and hanging out with a friend who can make fun of it with you, it's a really entertaining movie. So I'm going to go needs improvement plus. Now on Highlander, my first instinct was to say just a strong, solid, excellent. But you guys reminded me of the cop plot, which you're right, absolutely does not add anything to the film. It does not. If anything, it takes away from the
Although film. I will say there is one good scene, which they totally could have kept in and not have the cop plot, where the chief, who's also the chief in Police Squad, the show that Naked Gun is based off of, like, this guy made a career of playing police chiefs.
Nice.
But he goes walking by this newspaper stand, and there's this guy at the newspaper stand, and he's holding a paper that says Headhunter 2, Cop 0. And he goes, what does incompetent mean to the chief? Like, he's just giving
that
the cop
sound
chief.
Fun.
I kind of liked it. And it was in the 80s, and it was like a black dude giving a cop shit. So I kind of... I give it credit for that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's it. That's it.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And so my instinct was to say a strong, solid, excellent, but you guys are right. Like, I'm going to stand with you at excellent minus. That's where it does belong.
All right. I'm going to have to just throw in something on the Mortal Kombat video game, just because we got it there. I had played a lot of Street Fighter 2 before that, and my brother had rented Mortal Kombat, and we beat it in the span of about an hour, hour and a half.
Wow.
That doesn't surprise me at all. The first Mortal Kombat's super easy.
It was really easy. And it was like, and we beat it. And we were like, this is it? Really? And so we were just, I wasn't really impressed with the Mortal Kombat series.
The series of games got better with each installment.
Which is usually how games go.
Yeah. Especially fighting games like, where you sort of need...
Once you get one that isn't better, that's when the series is over.
Yeah.
That's when they fucked up with the programming and,
yep,
and nobody buys it and it's done.
There's a great version of... there's a great edition of Mortal Kombat, and I can't remember exactly which one it is, but it's for the PlayStation 2, and this is in the area where they added a lot of mini games to sort of... Because fighting games... Even if it's a hard fighting game, they can only last so long. Like you can only get... So they added a bunch of mini games, and there's this one Mortal Kombat that has, I shit you not, Mortal Kart, which is essentially Mario Kart with Mortal Kombat characters. And I gotta tell you, that alone makes that game franchise legendary. Like it is magic. It is everything I could have ever wanted from the concept.
And Street Fighter 2 broke it up by you got to demolish a car. Remember, like you beat, I think, 3 people, and then you got to demolish
a fuck
car.
Up a car for a little bit.
what is the point of this, but I enjoyed it.
There was a couple of scenes like that. One where it was like a whiskey warehouse or something.
Oh, that's right. They added it in. I'm like, the other weird thing they did with Street Fighter 2 that Mortal Kombat didn't have to worry about is Street Fighter 1 is a hot piece of garbage. If you've ever played that, it's just not fun. And then Street Fighter 2 really started. I'm sure there was one before it, but that was the one that launched like the
fighting game
craze. The fighting game, yes. So then they kept coming out. They must have come out with 4 different versions of Street Fighter 2 after that. They just
keep remaking it.
Blah, 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 Street Fighter 2. It was, I think the first one was Turbo Street Fighter 2, which was such an obvious ploy to get more money out of you because it was just like 33% faster. And so I was just like, this is a ripoff. The game's over quicker. But some people fucking swore by it, right? Before that, they had the Championship Edition, which was like you could play a character against itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they let you play the bosses like Vega and Bison and all that. And then... I think the final one, I believe, was Super Street Fighter 2, which introduced 4 brand new characters. Like, they had one who is a copy of... his name was Fang Li, and that he was a ripoff of Bruce Lee. But he studied Bruce Lee, was his backstory. So that was pretty sweet. And they had, like, this giant Indian guy who would yell, "Tomahawk chop!" And I remember, like... He was basically there so that you could pair him off against the really big, slow guys that nobody liked to play.
Nice.
Looking at you, Zangief.
And the best part is after those, like since those, they keep coming out with Street Fighter 2s where it's like,
I know Street Fighter 2 Alpha.
Yeah. And then they've had Street Fighter 2 HD. And like every time a new game system comes out, they remake Street Fighter 2 with the engines and
like,
physics systems for those.
It's
amazing, but it keeps happening. Like Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat will always be tied together for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But normally when you have like when you look at pop culture stuff where you have the two similar concepts that come out around the same time, one usually wins. This is the rare case where both have had really long, strong legacies.
I would say if I had to pick a winner, it'd probably be Mortal Kombat, though.
Probably, but
I hate to say that because we're pitting two fighting games against each other, but... I only stick up for Street Fighter 2 out of like
loyalty.
Yeah, because it was the one that I played. But like, Mortal Kombat is clearly one in like the
saturating pop culture and
yes.
Yeah. Well, and see, I think if I had to choose, I'd pick Mortal Kombat as well for all the same reasons. It's just interesting to me.
I think it's
that
like whichever one you play
normally
first is probably what you like.
Normally, the loser totally disappears. Like Street Fighter's still going on strong.
That's true.
It's amazing. Like those two franchises will always have a foothold.
Shuriken. You know what he actually says?
What's that?
It's Ryu Ken.
Oh, that makes sense.
I like read like somebody wrote them out, mm-hmm, like everything that they say, and it's like, oh, Ryu Ken. Because it's Ryu Ken because they're the same guy.
Yeah, they're the same. It's just a palette swap. Much in the same way Scorpion and Sub-Zero were the same guy at first, just a palette swap.
Yeah.
Which, that's another one of my favorite bits of fighting games is like the, we need more characters. Well, I don't know. Take that guy and make his clothes a different color.
That guy yellow.
Yeah.
But doubling back to the movies here. So it is appropriate that Highlander won because the phrase, do you guys know the phrase of this podcast? Like what the actual motto of it is?
What is the actual motto?
There can be only one.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Now,
the listener might not be familiar with that because for the longest time, somehow the Real Roulette artwork showed up on it and just wouldn't leave no matter how many times I reset it. But fucking dumb iTunes finally took the hint.
They caught on.
And they're finally showing the artwork with the sword that says there can be only one because it's a battling podcast. So.
And you know what? I'm glad that Highlander won because I would have felt bad if that was our motto and Highlander didn't win. There can only be one, and it's not the one we stole this quote from.
That would have, it would have been a funny footnote for sure.
Definitely. And it would have been shame on all our families. So I guess congratulations to you, Christopher Lambert.
Yeah.
All right. Fill those seats so we don't have to.
Hi, I'm Biggs. I'm here to tell you about the wonderful opportunities afforded to you by subscribing to all the wonderful podcasts here at the Not Safe for Network. Subscribe to Montucky's Guys at montuckysguys.blogspot.com and you could find a career in woodworking, mechanic, or TV VCR repair. Subscribe to We Had a Good Life at wehadagoodlife.com and you'll discover opportunities such as cobbler, fire and brimstone layer, or advanced lifeguard technician. Subscribe to Shooting the Shit Show at shootingtheshitshow.blogspot.com and you'll love the prospects available in the field of cell phone sales, dragon grooming, or masters of the custodial arts. Subscribe to Real Roulette at realroulettewithzackandbiggs.blogspot.com and you'll be awed by the chances to spread your wings in dot matrix printer sales, do-it-yourself manual writer, or subservient satanic minion. Subscribe to Box Office Battle at boxofficebattle.blogspot.com and explore the magnificent fields of farmhand personal assistant, snake oil salesman, or professional couch surfer. And don't forget to sharpen your workplace skills with the new podcast That's Debatable coming soon. The Not Safe for Network is dedicated to help you find that shiny new job that you never knew you wanted.